You know what that sound means? It's another episode of Game for a Movie where we ask, are you game for a movie? My name is Mike. I will be your host tonight. Today, we have a very special guest. I'm going to make sure I get this all correct because you deserve all of the respect on this. So we've got copywriter, publicist, author, co-creator of the Golden Raspberry Awards, also known as the Razzies, and my personal king of bad movies, Mr. John Wilson.
Hello, may I greet you with the sound our award is named after?
Oh, yes, please. I love it. So I've told you before, as a podcast about bad movies, we love the Razzie Awards. I compiled a list of some of the movies we've actually talked about that have won before or at least been nominated. Some of my favorites, I'm going to make it a smaller list because there's a bunch that we've covered. Holmes and Watson, Speed 2, Alone in the Dark, Bratz, on All About Steve was one of my favorite episodes because of how Sandra Bullock showed up.
Yeah, I have a funny anecdote about that. I saw it on a bargain matinee.
Okay.
And there's a scene in the movie where she's on a bus and she won't stop talking. And the bus driver votes her off and they throw her out on her butt in the dust. The audience burst into applause, which I think indicated I was not alone in my opinion of her performance.
I think you were, yeah, I think you were with them on that one. I remember seeing that one alone. I wish I kind of had the theater experience for that because it sounds like it would have been more up my alley. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know this is the busy part of your season, and I just want to go into a little bit about the Razzies themselves. A lot of people think that the Razzies are kind of recent. I know that I didn't know how long you guys have been going and everything like that. So this started when exactly?
Well, if you're my age, you'll remember this. The very first Razzies were held on an Oscar night in my living room alcove with a cardboard podium. And it was the year Ronald Reagan was shot, and they postponed the Oscars for only the second or third time in history. And so all of the programs we had printed are wrong.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So in our archive, we may go in with a red marker someday.
Yeah, right.
All of it. But it came about that year because I was working at a trailer company. And I also volunteered, quote unquote, to deal with a film festival that my employer sponsored.
Okay.
And the deal I made was I will do all of this work, but I get second dibs on the tickets. The boss
nice,
gets his choice first, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. Money. But I kept a list. I used to do that when I was in film school. And by actual count, I saw about 250 films that year.
God.
And when you see that many, you begin to realize, you know what, the odds don't really favor what the Oscars are talking about. And in 1980, there wasn't anything at all known that was doing what we've been doing for 45 years now. And the other thing that tipped the iceberg was I went to a 99-cent double feature of Can't Stop the Music with the Village People and Olivia Newton-John in
Oh my
Xanadu.
God.
And they would not give me my 99 cents back.
See, the only one I've got of that is Battle Los Angeles. I saw at a dollar theater and I wanted my dollar back.
Yeah. And I think those are both in ways they weren't meant to be. Those are both
Right.
very entertaining bad movies, but they're really bad movies. And I remember driving home. It was August. I had my windows down because it was warm. And
Okay.
as I'm driving, I'm thinking, well, you know, there should be an award for stuff like this. And off
Right.
the top of my head, I could name about a dozen movies that would be contenders. And I just spent the next, this was in August of 1980. And I spent the next few weeks doing some research. And that's when I discovered, I think, Rotten Tomatoes. I don't remember if it was new.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just wasn't known yet. But the first year it was mostly people I worked with at the trailer company.
Okay.
It was very let's put on a show, kids, kind of, you know.
Yeah. That's
endearingly
funny.
inept. But
Yeah.
and then I handed out ballots at work, and my boss saw one and got very mad because we had worked on several of the
Oh,
ballots.
yeah,
He didn't
that might be
want
bad.
it. But Can't Stop the Music ended up winning picture and screenplay. Xanadu won worst director.
Okay.
Neil Diamond, who was only in one movie that I know of,
Yeah, right.
a really dated remake of The Jazz Singer. He won worst actor, and I believe it was Brooke Shields in Blue Lagoon.
I'm pretty
He
sure
won.
you're right. I have pulled up the list you sent me on IMDb. Yes, Neil Diamond, jazz singer, and then yes, Brooke Shields and Blue Lagoon. Look at you.
Well, if anybody should know it, I should.
It's still, I mean, it's a lot of history to go through, and the fact that you can remember that is impressive as hell.
I'm not that old.
I didn't say that.
I don't have Razzheimer's.
Yeah. So we have a friend podcast with us, and I was going to save this until later, but he wanted me to make sure you knew that he does not agree with Xanadu being a bad film.
And he alone will stand up for that point of view. Actually, years ago, we had a very adamant Razzie member who was just fixated on that movie, and he went every night to when they made a stage musical of it, which opened here in LA and then moved to New York.
Okay.
And he every time we brought it up, he was like, "Olivia Newton-John is just so beautiful." And it's like,
I mean, you can be beautiful and be in a bad movie. Like, that's not mutually
Well,
exclusive.
the soundtrack apparently sold very well.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
at some point when I bought a DVD of it, I think it came with a CD of the soundtrack. And the songs are not that awful, except for the one that was nominated. I think it was called Suspended in Time.
Suspended in time. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I just don't, I'm not saying you have to agree with us, but I would guess 97% or more of the Earth's population made to sit through that movie would probably come to the same conclusion we did. And I love it. I mean,
Yeah.
in the official Razzie Movie Guide, I listed it as one of the 10 most enjoyable bad movies of all time. I mean, it's entertaining as hell, but I don't think you're supposed to be cringing and laughing and groaning as much as, and every time I've ever seen it with, when we got to, I think it was our 20th year, we did a whole series of screenings because we were doing awards for the worst of the century.
Okay. Yeah,
And
that's
I think the one that played the best was Showgirls, which is,
Showgirls. Okay.
like, again, I can't understand how Paul Verhoeven thought that was a serious film.
If you're gonna go for a bad film, at least make it entertaining. Like, go for gold, you know?
Well, and one of my favorite things to recommend, if you're going to watch Showgirls, turn on the closed captioning
Okay.
because you're not going to believe they're saying what you're hearing, but there it is right across the screen.
This
Must be
is,
weird not having anybody come on you.
yeah,
Great
yeah.
screenplay.
Okay, that's definitely that's the way I need to watch Showgirls now.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Is there any that because the process is that they get nominations, everything like that. Is there any that you have disagreed with to be nominated?
I occasionally disagree with which one they pick to be the winner,
Okay.
but I almost never disagree with what ends up getting nominated.
Okay.
And there have been times when I, like, when Battlefield Earth, which is another, amazingly bad movie, when that swept everything, I could tell when the ballot started, it was getting like 93% of
Yeah,
all
right.
votes. And so
Yeah.
I felt free to vote for the one that I actually loathed that year, which I think it was called Little Nicky.
Oh,
And
Little Nicky.
it
Okay,
was
yeah.
labeled as Satan's Kid.
Yeah.
And when
There's
I saw that, there was a couple there with their 9-year-old child. And I just thought, this is child abuse. Why are you? I almost went up to them and said, get that kid out of here.
Right, yeah. But it's Adam Sandler, like it's made for kids, right?
Oh yeah, I actually thought he was fairly funny on the 50th anniversary thing last night. He put in some effort into that song, which usually is not true of Adam Sandler.
Unfortunately, I didn't watch it because I was busy watching Unfrosted last night. But
Oh, you didn't tape it? You didn't record it?
I recorded it. Yeah, it's on Peacock. So it's the plan is tonight to if I don't find a way to watch Reagan tonight, I'm going
Now,
to.
Reagan is on, I think Reagan is on a bunch of different streaming services, if
So I
I'm not
couldn't
sure.
find it. I would hope it would be because that would make it a lot easier on
There's a thing
me.
that I like a lot called Row 8.
Okay, row eight.
And they usually have pretty good prices, and you don't have to subscribe. You pay individually for what you're watching.
Okay, I will definitely
And I
look into
think
that.
that
Yeah.
was where I sat through that.
Perfect. That's what I will do tonight then. After watching the 50th anniversary, of course.
Yes, good stuff
Do
first.
yeah, good stuff first. Get in the
Yeah.
right frame of mind, you know, and maybe enjoy an adult beverage before I start ranking. So some of these movies that have won have gone on to become cult classics. Do you feel that like validates you or does it like take away from? So my example is like Howard the Duck. People love Howard the Duck,
Wow.
even though it's awful. Like I've seen it, I do not care for it. I don't love it
Yes,
like some people
it's
love it.
I personally found that movie excruciating just
Yeah, that was a
because
lot.
they now it was before CGI existed.
Yeah, right.
But the duck is just a guy, and it's like the guy playing Donald Duck at Disneyland. He's in a rubber suit. How is that
Right.
a special effect? Yeah, and it just that one on financial standards alone, that was one of the, and I want to say it had either George Lucas or Steven Spielberg's name on it. I think it was Lucas.
It was Lucas, yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's
and back then, they were even bigger than they are now. Lucas
right.
has kind of, I thought it was odd the way he walked away from everything and sold out to Disney, but
Yeah.
yeah, when it's painful to sit through, which I found that movie to be. And isn't it Leah
Leah
Thompson? Is
Thompson,
that her name?
yes.
She's
Yeah.
actually, considering she's got a sex scene with a guy in a rubber duck suit,
Yep.
she's
She saw the
fairly
script and
incredible in
she
that.
said yes. I
Yes. That's one of my, yeah, when people say, well, she wasn't in, it's like they read the script and agreed to do it.
Yep.
You
And
know, is it them or their manager who has no standards? And especially when it's somebody like the only person I can think of who probably will never be a Razzie nominee is Meryl Streep.
Yes. Probably most
And
likely.
she's especially funny in the Saturday Night Live thing. I don't want to ruin anything for you,
Yeah,
but
no,
she has the best line in the entire 3.5 hours. But
yeah.
yeah, if they're a reputable actor, like the very first year, Alec Guinness was in a thing called Raise the Titanic, which
Raise
is another one of the most boring movies I've ever seen in my life.
the
But to me, Alec Guinness is one of my heroes. I think he's
Yeah.
one of the finest actors who ever lived. What the heck are you doing in that? Now, he did at one point, he has pointed out the most he was ever paid was
Yeah.
when he agreed to do Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he said the original deal didn't give him a percentage. But
Okay.
Lucas came to him after it took off and said, I certainly can afford to do this. And he said, it was millions and millions of dollars. And he's actually, he's credible, at least as
Yeah.
Obi-Wan.
Oh, definitely. No, I that is even growing up around the time of like the prequels and sequels and stuff like that, Alec Guinness is the first one that pops in my head when I think Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah.
So, where was I going to go with this next question? I had one. Oh, I was going to say how I'm looking at the first year and everything like that and looking at some of the nominees still, and you're exactly right about like reputable names. The best actor category alone has Michael Caine, Kirk Douglas, Richard Dreyfuss, and Anthony Hopkins. Like just
Yeah, and that first year we did 10 nominees in the
yes.
top categories, and we realized, well, if you don't, back then we had like 40 or 50 people voting.
Yeah.
If you don't have a huge voter base, it doesn't really mean anything if something, you know.
If they win by 3 votes because they got 12 votes.
Now, that year, I knew that most of the people had seen this stuff because, like I said, a lot of it, Kaleidoscope was the company I worked for at the time.
Yeah.
They had done the campaigns, and
Right.
we had to sit through dailies of the concert scene where Neil Diamond is doing "We're Coming to America." So
Okay.
we heard that song about 17 times.
Yeah,
But I've lost my train of thought. It's my turn.
right. It happens to the best of us, trust me.
Yeah, and then being an established name actually, I think, may put you at greater risk of being a Razzie contender because there are expectations and, you know, reputations that the audience goes in thinking, you know, you're Kirk Douglas, for God's sake.
Right.
I would be curious if you've ever seen Saturn III, which
I have
is
not seen Saturn 3, no.
he co-starred with Farrah Fawcett in that.
Okay. I know those names, both of those names. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it didn't win anything, but
Yeah.
there were just, you know, in any given year, there really are, if you spend the time to research it, there are on average 60 or more pictures that you could make a case for should be Razzie contenders.
Oh, definitely. I
Yeah,
do
narrowing
find,
it is complicated sometimes.
yeah, right. I do find that a lot of these movies sometimes, are they necessarily the worst of the worst, or do you feel like there's a disappointment factor? Like I'll say this year, even though I do not care for the movie, Joaquin Phoenix was pretty decent at least in Joker 2. And so I wonder, is it just more so like the disappointment because of how the first one went, and that's why he's nominated?
Well, I did some research because it's in, I think, six or seven categories this year. The guy who co-wrote and directed it, Todd
Todd
Phillips, I
Phillips,
think
yep.
is his name, he didn't want to do a sequel. He didn't think there should be a sequel.
Right.
And so I kind of, every once in a while, somebody tries to come up with something so awful it shouldn't get made.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like Bill Cosby with Leonard Part Six. That's what I think was going on with that movie.
Yeah.
And I think it shows, you know, I mean, who in their right mind would make the sequel to Joker a musical?
Yeah, right.
And then if you're going to do that, go for it. You
Yeah.
know, do legitimate choreography, great production values, well-paced editing, pick
Not this
songs
nonchalant
that
just
are,
singing in
yeah,
this
and this
movie.
thing is like, you know, a prison movie set to music.
Right.
There's a reason there has rarely been anything like that.
Yeah.
The only one that comes to mind is Prisoners of Love from the producers.
Oh my
But
gosh.
yeah, and it just, and again, if you're going to go there, go balls to the wall. Don't
Right.
do half-assed, which I very strongly feel Joker Folie Doux, I think it sounds
Well,
pronounced.
they I do,
It
yes.
just it didn't commit to what it was promising to be, something spectacularly off.
Yeah. And
And while it,
I
yeah,
agree with
it,
that, 'cause I definitely have it like I said, I don't know if Joaquin Phoenix was is bad in this, but the screenplay is terrible. I can definitely see why that was nominated for that.
and it's the other thing is, it's often the case that somebody wins an Oscar for something, and then the next thing they do, you know, it's like you could have done anything. Why did you pick that? Like early on in the year, I honestly thought Jamie Lee Curtis had chosen to do Borderlands after winning the Oscar,
Yeah, right.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. No, it was actually somewhere I read it might be as much as 4 or 5 years ago, they made it and they finally had the nerve to sneak it out.
It's been
So
sitting on the shelf. Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. That one, yeah, it's very obvious that it was sitting on the shelf for a little bit when you actually see it.
Yep.
It goes back to like Sandra Bullock, for example, who this same weekend one for All About Steve and then one for The Blind Side. Like, it's, I found that year fascinating in that aspect. Obviously, that was a big one that stuck in me.
Well, she also had a third movie that year that was a hit. She was with, I think it was Ryan Reynolds in, I think it was called The Proposal.
That is the best rom-com of all time.
Which actually was very funny. Yeah, that was actually a fairly funny movie, and their chemistry was good. But
oh, I love that movie. That's my favorite rom-com of all time. I forgot that was that same year. Wow. I know, there's probably better, but that one, for whatever reason, it's the one that, like, my mom turned on.
Well, you think that I meant, I'm. It's interesting that would be the one now. I'm not sure what that says. I also thought Betty White was incredibly funny in that.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah.
But when somebody has a huge success, mm-hmm. and they, you know, I have this theory that certain movies only got made because someone involved had won an Oscar.
Right.
Like Sunset Boulevard is a classic. That's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
As a result of its Academy and box office success, Billy Wilder got to do a very obscure but incredibly cynical movie, Kirk mm-hmm. Douglas, and I think called Ace in the Hole. Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen that one, no.
Even today, it seems cynical.
Okay.
It was made in 1951. Yeah. It was a huge box office disaster.
Okay.
But and then another one of my favorites, Tom Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Won a bunch of, I think it might have won Best Picture. I'm not sure about that. But the director of that got to do another of my favorite movies, a thing called The Loved One. Have you ever seen that?
Okay. I've heard of that one.
It's in a cemetery.
Okay.
And it's from a famous British novel.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's so close to being accurate that Forest Lawn sued them to try and keep it from being released.
That's a good problem to have when you're so accurate, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so some of these this year's we'll start focusing on that a little bit. Sure. Like I said, I've watched three of the five worst nominees for worst picture. I saw Unfrosted. On your mind, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this question. Some of these movies, when they get nominated, do you feel like it was always a sure thing? Like Borderlands, for example, it felt like as soon as it released, it was just destined for this. Like, even if the movie was fine.
Well, the big one that can claim that mantle this year, because it literally came out a year ago,
mm-hmm.
is Madame Web.
Madame Web.
Which immediately, when it was released, they started talking about the Razzies and how was the front runner. I personally thought Madame Web was incredibly boring.
Yes, I agree.
And rather pitiful. And it was so engrossing that I was reminded as I was watching it that I needed to take a break to do my dishes.
Yeah. That's a good thing when watching a movie, right?
I don't know that that's the kind of Razzie, certainly not the kind I appreciate. I like this stuff that's just crazy, mad, totally nuts. What the hell were they thinking? Which this year I would have to say is probably, even though Joker 2 was close, is a thing called Megalopolis.
Megalopolis. They went for it.
I have taken to calling WTF the movie. The whole time you're watching it, line after line after line, you're like, what the fuck did he just say? What's with the costume? Why has he got, you know, why is John Voight talking about his boner? I mean, and a big part of that one, it is Francis Ford Coppola, mm-hmm. you know, and I understand, you know, that he's, what is he, 83 or something, but
yeah, he's
someone with his track record, with the stuff that he's done, with the credits that he has, to make something like that. It's like, and he couldn't, understandably, he couldn't find anyone to finance it for him. So he put all his own money into it, which makes its failure even more personally devastating to him.
Right. Oh, definitely. I feel like the movies lately that we've heard of that are actors, directors putting in their own money have not gone well, because there's that I was thinking of, and then the Horizon movies with Kevin Costner. Like, when you can't find people to put in money for it, maybe that's a sign.
Sometimes the money people do know what they're talking about. Not
Right. They,
always, not even most of the time.
yeah, right.
And finance isn't the only measure, obviously.
Right.
I have to say, from what I was reading on the internet, the public really hated Joker, Folie à Deux. I
Yes.
mean, it's one of the few times where the critics and the public on Rotten Tomatoes, they have a secondary meter on the
Yeah.
main page for each movie, and they are exactly the same.
That's crazy to me.
31% positive, which is in Razzie territory.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for our show, I don't touch a movie unless it has under 40% for both, because then people can agree this is a bad movie. Like, there's no skirting around it. It's not just, oh, the audience hated it. Oh, the critics hated it. This is.
Well, I have recently, I've started looking at the user ratings on
Yeah.
IMDb, which is a fairly good indicator because that's usually thousands of people.
Right. I'll say
I doubt that it
sometimes.
was that many for Megalopolis,
Yeah,
but.
right. I'll say sometimes you're right on that, because then sometimes, like Madame Web, there was one that stuck out to me when I was looking at the score for the audience, and it was like, this movie only made me barf a little, 5 stars. Some of these ratings, it's just like you just gotta double check just in case, because it's audience is like 54%, and I don't feel like it's really that high. This is just certain
Well,
people.
people, I think the average moviegoer isn't nearly as snarky
Yeah,
as
right.
Razzies are, or as critics are, or as film professionals would be.
Yeah,
And
right.
you're all taught not to say mean things. And over the 45 years we've been doing the Razzies, the whole PC, don't pick on anybody, everybody should only say nice things, that whole notion has just gone crazy.
Right.
And it's now part of our culture. And yeah, they on their face, the Razzies are insulting. They're meant to be, but
Yeah.
they're also meant to be funny. They're not, they weren't created to kick someone in the teeth. I
Right.
like to say, we're not a kick in the stomach, we're a banana peel on the floor.
I
And we're not
like it.
saying, how dare you? We're saying, why did you?
Yeah,
If
right.
Sandra Bullock, and again, that was her own project, it was her production company, she nurtured it all the way through. She did that to herself.
You're
And again, we aren't saying you can't ever do a good thing again. You've ruined your whole, but most of these projects, there is a trajectory to somebody's career when they've done one of these.
right.
It does tend to level off or plummet.
Yeah. Well,
And
I've noticed lately that somebody like Jon Voight has kind of been consistently on
yeah,
that.
I thought it was wildly amusing that when Trump was picking the ambassadors for the movie industry, they're all three big time Razzie winners.
Okay.
It's Mel Gibson, Jon Voight, and the king of the Razzies, Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester.
Yes,
Oh my gosh,
dog.
that's great. And so you were talking about the idea of like it's a banana peel and that kind of thing, and I love that. That's a great analogy, because that is in my mind what I have it as. There are a lot of people nowadays with this PC idea, and I'm not going fully into that, but like the idea of if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything. We released a TikTok that was like five of the worst movies we covered this year at the end of the year. And people were commenting like, why are you saying all these bad things about these movies? I agree with you in the fact that it's not how dare you, it's why did you, the kind of thing. Like, and especially things that you do, like your comeback award, like
Yeah, the Redeemer.
the
Yeah.
Redeemer. Yes, exactly. Yes, the Redeemer Award.
And everyone thinks they know who that's going to go to this year. We're going to go against the grain. We're going to go with somebody that was snubbed by the Oscars.
There you go.
Who
Hey,
should I?
you have to watch to know.
Yeah.
Little teaser there.
Yeah, I'm not going to say who it is, but
Right. No, of course.
yeah. And Sylvester Stallone won a Redeemer Award at one point. Then he went back to doing Expendables movies, but and he, I was pleased. He was actually mentioned on the nominating ballot this year, and for the first time I can remember, he didn't end up in the final five. So maybe we're over him. Maybe it's time to finally give him his career award.
Maybe it's time to, he's gone now. It's over.
He has an, I'm trying to remember what it's called. He has another movie that just came out in which he doesn't always play the lead either anymore. He
Right.
has a secondary.
Is that that's Alarum, I think it is.
Yes. I knew it was a word they put an extra vowel in, like
Yeah,
Van
right.
Dyke having a stroke.
Yeah, we considered Alarum for our show. But yes, he does now. He's taking a little more of a backseat. I think you're right on about maybe it's he's got his roses now or his Razzies.
Well, he the year he won the Redeemer Award, he was widely touted to win the Academy Award for
Right.
Best Supporting Actor.
That was Creed, right?
Yes,
Yeah,
and he
okay.
didn't win that. And we were told he wouldn't accept our award because he thought he was going to win an Oscar. And his manager was trying to convince him to do it. She said, "This is funny. You could use a little humor here."
Right. Have you found that more people have been like accepting of it? I feel like before, like you said, people took it kind of as a kick to the stomach, that kind of thing. But I feel lately I've heard more people are just like proud of it. They're accepting of it because they realize, hey, sometimes they can't all be gems.
Well, there over the years there have been few and far between,
Okay.
but I think the greatest one, and it has now been watched something like 3 million times on our YouTube channel, Halle Berry showing up for Catwoman.
I'm pretty sure I'm a billion of those viewers.
And it's incredible. And if she could have been that entertaining in the movie, she won the award, but she's having fun at her own expense,
Right.
and the public loves that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a couple of years later, when Sandra Bullock won both awards back to back, she won a Razzie Saturday and an Oscar on Sunday.
Yeah.
She had a little more toed and
Okay.
wasn't as enjoying the moment as Halle Berry had been, but that fulfilled one of my favorite fantasies about the Razzies, which was someday someone's going to ask a Razzie winner when they walk up the red carpet the next night about the Razzies. And every single crew along the red carpet that year asked her, "Well, weren't you at another thing?"
Yeah, right. You had
And
another project this year,
she was,
right?
I, as I recall, one of her remarks was, "Well, they're both going to be on display in my living room, but I'm not going to put the Razzie on a much lower shelf."
Oh, I would proudly have both of them right next to each other. There it is.
There have been a handful. The guy that wrote L.A. Confidential also wrote, oh God, what was it that he won the Razzie? I want to say it's The Postman, the Kevin
Okay.
Costner futuristic movie.
Yeah. I'm looking it up as we're talking about it.
Helgeland, Brian Helgeland, I think.
Okay. That sounds right.
He invited us to his office on the Warner Brothers lot and let us take a picture to post on our website. He was also, and he said, "I won an Oscar. It's, the Razzies are funny." And he said, "It's both ends of the scale. You're not always going to do Oscar caliber work."
Yeah, right. And he's right about that. I mean, nobody is always Oscar caliber all the time.
Well, except Meryl Streep.
Except for Meryl Streep. Yes, of course. And
But
yes, it was him for The Postman.
yeah.
Yeah. Nailed it again. Look at you. I just wanted to know just in case, but like I trusted you. You knew it. Oh, so you asked me for a list, and This is getting a little more goofy. You asked me for a list of Razzies I don't agree with. And for the most part, I don't have a ton. I have more nominee stuff than winner stuff, including 1981 Friday the 13th for worst picture.
Okay. That I think that's another one that the company I worked at had done the campaign.
Okay.
And it is responsible for that and Halloween. And Halloween I actually think is a very good movie.
Yes.
Friday the 13th is basically kids having sex and getting their throats cut,
I mean,
which
that's it launched a whole horror genre.
I would argue that that combined with Halloween, although Halloween was several years earlier, I think Halloween was 78.
Okay, yes, that's true. That is true.
And they, again, we had 10 nominees that year.
Okay. So filling
And
out the ranks. Okay, I'll give it to
yeah,
you.
you know,
Okay.
the guy who, I want to say the guy who produced that, sent a very angry email at some point pointing out how much money it made. Box office does not, and you know,
There are plenty of movies that have amazing box office. I mean, now The Room probably has a great box office, and we all know it's terrible.
yes, my son loves that movie.
Yeah,
He
right.
used to go with groups of friends to that. And
There's.
it took so long to rise to the level of public awareness that it wasn't even on our radar. I mean,
Right.
it didn't get widely reviewed. It wasn't, you know, it basically played midnight shows in West Hollywood.
I'll be honest, I had no clue about it until a teacher of mine in high school was she had done a couple extras things for like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and that kind of stuff. She was in a couple things. She had posted when The Disaster Artist came out a journal entry from when she was in Hollywood, and she was in line to audition for The Room, and like heard screaming, heard chaos, like there was animal noises, there was all these things, and like when she walked in, like immediately all she could smell was just sweat, and like that's definitely one of those movies that when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I need to go see this again because I don't remember this as much.
It's what you know, one of the hardest things to do and carry off is a deliberate Razzie.
Right.
The only time anyone ever claimed they had done that was Tom Green with a thing
Okay.
called Freddy Got Fingered.
Yes. I remember
And
Freddy got fingered.
yeah, that was the only year I actually hired a babysitter and refused to let my son attend the awards. I did not want him to see specifically the animal abuse sequence
Yes.
from
Yeah,
that. That
probably.
was a truly tasteless movie.
Yes, probably a good choice on your part, I would
Yeah.
say.
And I also, when Tom Green showed up, he's one of the few who did attend. We took him aside and we said, "Your picture's winning five or six awards. We don't have time for you to get up there every time it wins an
A
award.
speech
So
for
your picture's
everyone,
free, you
yeah.
want to go up there." And we realized once we said that to him, he's a particularly arbitrary, you know, in your face, "You told me not to, so I'm gonna."
Yeah.
So we talked to the lighting director and we told him every time it's a category we don't want him on the stage, turn a screaming spotlight right in his face and turn off every other light in the theater, be able to get to the stage without breaking his neck. And he loved it because he thought, "Oh, they're spotlighting me. They're
Yeah, right.
It worked." He only did get to go up three times.
He still made it up three, but that's great. That's well done. All right, I like that. All right, there was one more that I needed to talk about. I had a list. It's really most of them I'm not arguing or anything like that, but there's one that I wanted to bring up that hurt me a little bit. So in 1995, a certain actor was nominated for Worst New Star.
Oh, you just say Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey. The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, and Ace Ventura were the reasons. I'm sorry. Those were like his like three of his best. I know they're
Well, see,
dumb.
I don't know if you I knew him from In Living Color,
I didn't know
which
him
is
from
where
In
he
Living
got his
Color at that
start.
point.
And he was so wildly original and just, groundbreakingly twisted.
Yeah, okay.
And those three movies, the whole thing of The Mask, it's basically a live action version of the old Warner Brothers cartoon where the wolf sees the blonde girl and his eyeballs pop out and
Exactly, yeah. Which of the of those three movies, I will give you that one. Yes, okay, I have a little more understanding for that. But like Dumb and Dumber, I probably have seen way too many
Well, yeah,
times.
actually, in retrospect, I actually, yes, over the years have come to,
Okay.
especially after you've seen the horrible sequel with the other actors that they tried to pull off.
Oh, I've seen that one and the actual sequel with the same characters. It's not good.
Well, again, you can't, sometimes when something hits, it is a one-time thing. And it's not, you can't, I think the expression is capture lightning in a bottle. You can't make the same circumstances occur a second time. The one I like to point to is, and this is going to sound like a weird example coming from the head of the Razzies, but when Burt Reynolds and Sally Field made the first Smokey and the Bandit, they were actually falling in love off camera, and that came across on the screen. When it was a huge hit and they decided to do the sequel, they were done. They hated each other's fucking guts. They didn't even want to sit in the same vehicle. And that came across on the screen.
Right, exactly. Oh, you're exactly right though about like it's impossible to recapture that same thing. If you can do it, good on you. I mean that's impressive as hell, but
Yeah, Godfather 2 to me is the ultimate example where I actually thought it was better than the first
yes,
one,
I would agree
partly
with that.
because it was more creative and it had a lot more interesting actors in it. I'm pretty sure that was one of the first things De Niro ever did that was popular in the mainstream.
I would guess so. I don't exactly know because I just don't remember that timeline. But yes, I would guess so as well. And you're exactly right. I would say it's better than the original. And then you get Godfather 3.
Oh, I have a favorite story about that one also.
Oh, let's go.
A
I'm
friend
ready.
of mine who worked at Paramount and knows that I do the Razzies, she said, "I will get you into an Academy member screening, but you must behave." And I agreed to. I sat on my hands, but in the scene where Sofia Coppola is shot, deadpans the word "dad," and then smack face first on the steps
The
of the opera.
steps, yep.
The Academy audience burst into applause and cheers that she was dead. They hate her.
Meanwhile, you're sitting on your hands just
Yes, I'm
like
like, well, they're all doing it, but I don't want Allison to get in trouble, so.
Do you find when you're invited to these events, you're told to behave?
I actually worked on campaigns for some of this stuff. Like I did the campaign for one of my
Yeah.
very favorite bad movies, Lonely Lady.
Lonely lady. Okay.
And again, it's, you can tell even in rough cut, like Jaws 3D, you didn't have to have the lame-o 3D effects to know that thing sucked. But yeah, it's. I think it's actually easier to make a good promo for a bad movie because 90% of it you don't want to show because it's so awful. So you're limited to. We basically they licensed a song. I think it was The Fanatic. Cut the trailer to the rhythm of that song, and you couldn't tell what was going on. You could tell that she was half naked in a lot of the movie. You could. It was fairly tasteless. They mentioned Harold Robbins, but it was like boom, 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 out. Yes, one of the things when you know you have a bad movie, one of the things you do is I call it the Benihana style of editing. Give anybody 10 seconds to figure out that's bad acting. That's a ridiculous costume.
You don't want to leave it in there. Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. I feel like it would be easier to make a trailer of a bad movie because it you just pull that the good stuff that seeps to the top
Yeah,
almost.
the crud that floats to the top.
Yeah,
One of the
right.
hardest campaigns I ever did, I actually worked on the campaign for Silence of the Lambs.
Okay. Yep.
And my client thought I was nuts. I said, this is going to win every Oscar. It's a horror movie. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. I think you know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm a, I like to say I'm an Oscar baby. I grew up watching them with my parents. When I was a child in Chicago, it was one of the few nights of the year I was allowed to stay up late.
Yeah.
I remember very clearly when Patty Duke won an Academy Award for Miracle Worker, which is an incredible movie.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, she's not a lot older than I am. They give Oscars to kids?
Yeah. Right. The way you just said that. Okay. So a couple of years ago, and there was a kid nominated for Worst Actress. I think you guys pulled it. Am I correct
Yes.
about? Yeah.
Yes, and we turned around and gave that award to ourselves for
Okay.
having.
Yes. Yeah, that was it. Do you find that happens often, something like that, where it's because I've seen that one, and then I've seen the Shelley Duvall one got retroactively, like the nomination got taken away because we saw what she went through on The Shining.
Yeah. Yeah, there are times when it really isn't the fault of the person whose face is on screen.
Right.
In the case of Firestarter,
That was it.
it
Yeah.
was a remake of, again, a movie I had worked on the campaign for the old one with Drew Barrymore, which
Okay.
it wasn't awful, but it wasn't that good. I don't really know why they wanted to remake it.
That was the question when it was coming out, was just kind of like, of all the things to remake, this is the one?
Yeah, and it isn't one of King's better novels either. I had a friend in college that we both loved Stephen King, and her birthday was in October and mine was in May. So our agreement was I would give her the book that came out in the spring for her birthday. She'd read it and give it to me. And then she would, we would trade off. And that way we were able, he averaged about two books a year. The guy was frighteningly prolific,
Oh
but
yeah. He cranked them out.
yeah. Yeah, that was a very, that whole thing about the, I should remember her name, but I blocked it from my,
Yeah,
that
right. No, I
was a
get it.
very unpleasant experience for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
But there were people, I thought this was very odd. There were people saying that by nominating her for a Razzie, we were grooming her for something, which is a term for,
Yeah.
pedophilia.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's a Razzie. If you're trying to
Right.
romance somebody, you're not going to nominate them for a Razzie award.
Right.
You're going to come up with a bullshit thing that says you're fabulous.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just,
So.
yeah, the polarization of public opinion, largely due to the internet, is one of the things that's most significantly changed over the years with the Razzies.
Okay. So how has it changed? Like it's more negative, would you say, or more positive?
There's more umbrage,
Okay.
if it were, people take offense at,
Yeah.
who nominated, la la la.
Right.
And it's a joke,
Yeah.
get over yourself. And it ha it can have a rather large impact, but it's not. Like I said earlier, it's not meant to be offensive. It's
Right.
meant to be like another thing I say a lot is if you got $20 million for playing Mr. Freeze in a Batman movie, and you also got a Razzie nomination, you still have $20 million. That ought to be able to buy you a sense of humor.
I can't imagine anybody that we're particularly talking about with that.
No, I'm being vague intentionally.
Yeah, right. It was an ice pun. Sorry. God, I'll be honest. I still love that movie, even though it's terrible.
Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
Isn't that
Oh
the
yeah.
one that's, yeah.
It's definitely one I'm a self like I'm trying to give myself self pain, I think, and I enjoy bad movies for the sake of enjoying bad movies. But I was trying to think before this interview, like, what are some of the ones that I've seen that I actually enjoyed? And Batman and Robin was one of them. I don't know if it was nominated, but like, I always defend
Oh
Mortal
yeah,
Kombat Annihilation.
I think Alicia Silverstone won supporting actress for that. And I
Okay,
thought it
yep.
was funny, her character's name was the name of the woman who was my wife at the time. Trying to figure out if we could get a joke in there. And she said, I am not going up on the stage.
Yeah,
No.
right. I'm not doing that. Yeah, because I was looking at some of them. I don't remember if it was nominated or not. It might not have been, but like Mortal Kombat Annihilation, I'm a constant defender of. And I'm.
Don't think so, only because again, our members generally, until recently, when comic and video game based movies became pretty much the backbone of big budget Hollywood movie making, our members didn't seem to be into either of those,
Okay, that's fair.
genres.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, we started talking about this year's nominees. Do you find that for certain movies, there are, as soon as it's nominated for Worst Picture, everything else kind of follows and like happens? Or does it start with like one nomination and then just kind of snowball?
I mean, in our voting process or public opinion, or well, there is a great deal of crossover. Our members tend to think if something is bad enough to be nominated for worst picture, it's probably going to get at least three or four. It's very rare that something gets a worst picture nomination and nothing else. I think only once in our whole history has something won worst picture without winning something else, and that was a weird little movie called The Color of Night. I think it was Bruce Willis, and he's a therapist, which right there you're in trouble. But
Probably.
yes, they do tend to, and I can't guarantee, but then neither can the Academy or the Golden Globe Committee that our voting members actually see this stuff. Unfortunately for me, I do. Because of situations like this, I like to be able to discuss from having seen this stuff, why was it nominated? Does it deserve to be? Which awards should it get? And then just, I consider it kind of, it's not a job because I really don't make money doing it, but it's my avocation. I painted myself into this corner by coming up with it all those years ago.
How many hours do you find, especially at this point of the year, that you work on this? Is it like
Well, what I tend to do is this time of the year, I'm focused on the current year and promoting it and, building the video and press release and blah, blah, blah. But I mostly watch stuff now streaming. I very rarely actually see something in a theater anymore. The last thing I saw in a theater was Cats.
Oh,
And
God.
that probably is a factor in my not wanting to go to a theater ever again.
That almost was my last movie in theaters before COVID. It was like the.
Yes, it was. And it was, again, it was a matinee, and there were like six other people in the theater, and everyone else was wondering why I was laughing maniacally throughout the musical. But
It's a musical. Lighten up. I mean, like, yeah, Cats was almost the end of me, I think, with this show and just in general.
well, the show itself was rather a piffle. I saw it on Broadway before it had formally opened. I was on a trip with a friend in Manhattan, and we thought, well, that looks weird. Maybe that would be fun. And other than the song Memory, which is an amazing song, and the woman who sang it was quite amazing, and I think she won a Tony, but
I would assume
it's
so.
basically like the took a litter box and made it into a musical. It's
It's true.
set your litter box to music with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that's one of those things where there were a whole bunch of different concepts thrown at Universal about how to turn this thing into a movie. And I
Right.
think do the whole thing as CGI. Don't just do their whiskers and their claws,
Yeah.
and dress them up like they've gone to the Party City store. And yeah, that's another one where pretty much everything about it. I mean, the minute the trailer hit, we posted it on our website. We posted the link to it and said, this looks like the one.
This is it. Yeah, exactly. This is sitting here. We're
It's
ready.
just wait.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And yeah, it was rightfully so. Every year you have the presentation of the Razzie Awards, obviously. This year it's usually the night before, correct?
Yes,
Okay.
it had we the first, I think, 3 years we did it as an Oscar watching party, and then we did our presentation afterward.
Okay. Yes, that makes
And
sense.
the fourth year, one of my clients who knew I did the Razzies and thought they were wonderfully funny, he said, well, why don't you do it the day before? Because there's press from literally all over the world, and they have nothing to do, and they're already in Hollywood. And that's when it really took off.
Nice.
We are not actually, this year, we are not actually doing a full-blown show. We're doing a press release.
Okay.
And, but yeah, over the years, it was a great deal of fun,
Yeah.
mounting a show and finding the quotes. And we had a wonderful cast of people who could just put the perfect snarky spin on stuff. And it was quite clear. It was, when you have a live show, it's quite obvious it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah, right.
In print and as a video press release, sometimes people do misconstrue it. They think that it's straight up mean, which is
Right.
not the intent.
The kick to the stomach instead of the banana peel. See, I'm gonna keep using that. I think that's great. That's exactly what it is. People can buy memberships to vote, everything like that. They can be a part of it. I know I signed up. I signed my buddy Mitchell up as well.
Well, you can our website, razzies.com, has a page. And but if you join at this point, you're not going to get a nominating ballot, obviously. You're going
Obviously.
to get the final ballot.
Yes. Voting is open, I know, and everything like that. Do you find that most of the people now that have memberships, they watch them all, or they just kind of are voting for one movie in particular that they just want
There
to?
are, yeah, there are people who like to spread, I like to say, spread the loathe around.
Okay.
But there are people who just, down the whole thing. It's like Joker, 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 what,
Yeah.
Madam Web, Madam Web,
Right.
there does tend to be that kind of voting.
Okay.
But I like to think that people have seen it because it's not that common anymore for something to sweep to win, like there's nine categories
Right.
and Redeemer.
Yeah.
It's very rare for something to win even five of them anymore.
Yeah, right. Something like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, I know won a couple, and I think that's the last
Won
one I read.
several, and we didn't. We decided. We didn't think it was fair to pick on the actors because the whole thing cost like what, $100,000,
Right.
and the guy who wrote and directed it publicly chastised us. I'm up against $100 million movies, and I said, you don't have to have money to have talent, and
Right.
apparently you had neither.
You're exactly right on that. I've watched those. That's you could do a decent story and be fun with it with a lower budget,
Well,
but
if you also, if you're going to put that kind of a spin on something as beloved as Winnie the Pooh is,
yeah, right.
you better be clever. You better be funny, and it better be clear that you have your tongue in your cheek.
Yeah, right,
And
exactly.
this was your basic Babes in Bikinis slasher movie with two people in Winnie the Pooh, and I think it was Piglet was the other.
Piglet, yes.
And they looked like Halloween masks. They didn't, there was no effort made to do anything of merit there.
Right. It was definitely cheapo the movie, and that's fine if that's what you're going for, but yeah, you can't then complain and say, well, it was the budget's fault. Well, John, I know we're just about out of time, so I wanted to say thank you for coming on and everything like that. You can go to Razzies.com, obviously. Where else can we find you?
Well, our whole history is listed on IMDb on their awards page. You kind of have to scroll down on the master list and find Razzies. And then all of the movies that we've nominated and given awards to over the years in the page about their awards were listed.
And I will post that in the description of this episode so that you can find it yourself as well. I want to say thank you for spending even the shortest amount of time. Even it was entertaining. It was informative. I really appreciate you taking time.
Well, and we appreciate your interest.
Of course.
And if people do join, hopefully they will join in the spirit of having and making fun as opposed to, vengeance, as somebody
Yeah.
who lives in a big white house right now seems to think about all the
Yeah,
time.
exactly. No. No vengeance. We're here for Goofy.
There you go.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you again, really, for taking the time.
You are very welcome. Well, wait, very welcome.
Very well. Thank you for tuning in to the Game for a Movie podcast.
Bye for now.